Tips from the Top Floor, show number 61, October 14th, 2005. And on today's show, I have a special treat for you, an interview with one of the best German photographers.
Podcasting for the digital photographer.
Hi, this is Michael from pixelcatcher.com, and you're listening to Tips from the Top Floor.
This is Tips from the Top Floor. And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Welcome to this very, very special episode of Tips from the Top Floor. And before we get into the interview, just a very tiny bit of housekeeping today. First, just to let you know, the silence assignment is still open until Sunday, October the 16th. And if you want to participate and have your image displayed in the assignment's online gallery, go to tipsfromthetopfloor.com and click on the assignment image on the right-hand side. Also, if you have any questions regarding anything photography related or the show, don't be shy and become a member of the Tips from the Top Floor forum. We are about to have another surprise beanbag giveaway for all of those who are registered and active on the forum. Well, and without further ado, let's go right into the interview. I must admit that I'm a bit nervous right now. Today's guest on the show is originally from Hamburg, Germany. She's been called the German Annie Leibovitz. She is known for her work in the international music and fashion business, commercial, editorial, and erotic photography. She's been portraying a lot of German and international stars such as Boris Becker, Peter Ustinov, David Copperfield, Claudia Schiffer, Eric Clapton, Kevin Costner, Anastasia, Nina Hagen, just to name a few. Her photography has been on the covers of L'Uomo, Stern, Spiegel, Vogue, The Rolling Stone, and even The Playboy. And I'm very proud and honored to have her with me on the phone here on Tips from the Top Floor today. Welcome, Gabo.
Hello, what an announcement.
I'm really nervous, I must admit. Did I miss anything important during that introduction?
Well, what about my mother, my son, and my horse, my dog, and my cat? But I think job-wise, you got all, basically, I mean, not all people I took pictures of course, and not all the magazines I worked for, but that would be getting too boring, I guess.
Oh, we can add anything in here. That's not a problem at all. I've recently seen an exhibition from you in Hamburg, Germany, and
you were the one who went there.
I'm probably not the only one. I saw a guest book there that was really full with a lot of writings, and your photography has been seen a lot, and just seeing those pictures in large format hanging on the walls in a very nice presentation, that was really blowing me away. So speaking about your portrait work, I think let's just dive into the interview. What makes a good portrait for you?
Well, a good portrait is if you can catch some spirit. You know, like you get some personality out of the person and not just the face, which is superficial, seen all over, and a cliché. For me, it's important that I can show more the face behind the face.
So how do you achieve that? I mean, I've seen so many portraits, but yours do have some sort of more depth. I think they really show more of the actual person.
Well, I try to be friends with the people for the time we are with, you know. If you can't be with the people you love the people you are with. And that, I mean, love is too much, of course, but, I mean, get along. And I have a good time with them, usually, not with all, of course, but the most of them by the time now are my friends. I can call them friends in a way, and you know, it's no bullshit. It's like talking real, and you know, not just meeting between doors. It's more like getting into the more into the details, and you know, talk real and all these things. And I guess that's what the people like to on me too, that they can be open without being later fooled, you know, like I would tell other people what they told me, and you know, I try to be friends to them, and then they give me their friendship too, and so they open up.
So I guess for at least some of them, you must be spending a bit of time with them up front, preparing everything and just getting to know each other, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, you've been on you're working for a lot of famous magazines, and you have had a lot of stars in front of your lens. How did you get where you are, and how do you get to your subjects? How does that work?
Well, they're knocking my door. No, it's well, I do work like that, that I'm not choosing the subject. You know, they choose me in a way, and the magazines come to me. Once you are in and you work, you have done some good jobs, then it's working by itself. And of course, I'm a lot of years on the market. So I guess some magazines might be tired of me too, but at the end, the quality counts, and I have always showed quality, and the people I work with, they always felt well, and they look good, you know, they're at the end, and not just superficial or overmade by some Photoshop intense overmake. They are more, they are themselves, and that self, you know, it's like the pictures have not showed wrong sides of the people, so the people come back to me, they ask for me, you know. There's like a Boris Becker's example. I took a lot of pictures of him, and he asked for me, you know. He goes like, oh, can we do that with Gabo? And okay. The people go, okay, well, we haven't thought in that moment of her, we had another photographer in mind, but why not? And so it's them asking for me, which I think is a great way.
Okay, so it's a matter of trust between you and the model.
Exactly.
And of course, once you get to a certain position in the market, people will start asking for you instead of you trying to ask for them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's I wait until the telephone rings. I'm not calling around. Take me, please take me.
Well,
and if nobody calls, I go to the beach.
I wish that happened to me, and I think there's a lot of listeners of this show that hope to get to that point at one time.
Well, sometimes I get bored on the beach if the telephone doesn't ring, but then it's in the float, you know. Then there's always jobs coming in when I'm getting bankrupt and bored, and until now, toy, it has been going well for me.
Okay. So, the exhibition I saw in Hamburg, I think it was dubbed as a retrospective of some sort. How did that make you feel?
Very strange. It's like you know, you're close to die because all the spirits which called you are suddenly around you on the wall, looking down to you with their eyes you already saw once in life. In real, and they're all looking down to you, and it was very strange. I felt very old, actually, when I saw that, because usually retrospective people do when they die, or the people who own all the rights, you know. And it was kind of strange, but I had to do it because I wanted to make a point in photography, because I think we reached a moment when digital photography takes over, and the analog photography is kind of dying. Maybe I see it too dramatic, but that's my feeling. And I wanted to make a point, you know, saying until now I have been working very well with analog photography, and let's see what's coming now. And I wanted to make a point. Well,
okay.
That's it.
I know that many of the listeners of this show actually still use analog photography. They still use film, they still have film cameras and use them in one or the other way. There's of course now a large percentage of digital photographers as well. I've read that you exclusively do film up to now. Is that right? And what's your feeling about this whole transition that's going on right now?
Oh, well, in a way I hate it, but I know you can't fight anymore with words when they have atomic bombs, you know. It's very hard to turn the world back, and in a way I like internet too. I can live in Spain while my work is done in Germany, and they can send me all the pictures over so I can have a look at the picture, what they do, and they don't have to send overnight express courier, which is expensive. I mean, it has a lot of good points, the situation we are in, but I don't like if it's getting fast food photography. If you are still working on the beach with models, and the client is somewhere in another town, even, and seeing the picture before you get to see them, because everything has to be faster, and it's getting out of hand, because while you're working, there are already composers over your pictures, changing colors and all kinds of things, arms and hips and pimples taking away, and you might see it different because you have met the person in real. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hurting me to give away my work.
Okay.
And too fast, and everything has to be much faster. Like, they go, oh, can you send us the dates of the last shooting, and you're still working on it, and I think it's getting out of hand, and I don't like also the material very much yet. I think it's, if you blow it up very big, you can see the pixels, and I don't like to I like to give away the job, the picture in the hand of the person who wanted it, like I think I wanted to. It's nice.
Okay.
And it's very difficult then to control, because a lot of people, after you working on it, later you see the picture and it's a completely different picture. It's not the moment anymore. It's not the person you have met. It's completely changed, and there are people who are really good working with digital photography, the after work,
the post processing, yeah.
The post process, exactly, and there are good people existing, but they're still in outside the country. Like for Italian Vogue, there are of course really good people working, but the main people you find in Germany yet, they're not as good, so you have to do it yourself, and I don't have the work, and I don't feel like doing the work to sit behind the computer for hours to clean a picture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have to clean my laundry from traveling.
so and do you but you develop your own pictures, you have your own dark room, don't you?
No, I know how to do it in black and white, but I don't have the time, but I have good labs to work with, and
okay.
Which I trust, they know what I'm doing. I also have an electronic Schönheit who helped me with with the post, and they are really professional and good, and they know what I want, so they don't do too much.
Okay.
On the faces of the people.
Okay. Back to working with the stars. I think that's probably also quite interesting. What is it like to work with the stars? Are there any examples that you can talk about, or that you feel like?
Well, for
about?
Me, it's very normal. It's like daily work, and I'm not seeing, I'm not getting excited anymore. And if I have to take picture of like a political person or big actor, it's first they are humans, and then they have to show if they are good or if they are cool or if they are not cool. And I don't really. I'm so used to it, I guess. You know, it's like doesn't excite me in a way that I'm like, oh God, I have to take a picture of this person. And,
okay.
You know, I'm like, okay, let's see if she or him is nice, and then I might get excited next time.
So you're saying that also the in quotes stars don't have that much a problem in actually lowering their barriers, their walls for you, and letting you more into their personality, in their own personality.
Well, of course, it's not always like that. That you talk about pimples on the butt, you know.
Oh, sure.
But it's like if you know for more times, like if you have met a few shootings, then it's getting more and more closer, and of course you get to trust. And that helps a lot and makes the job faster, and you have a good time, and the result is great because you have a trust, you know. Trust is a must. You must have trust.
Trust is a must, yeah. That's, I think, pretty true for all type of photography that involves people. I mean, people who know that you're taking pictures of them. I'm not talking about candid shots here or anything.
Exactly.
Okay. From the work you've done so far, what is your personal highlights in terms of pictures, photo shoots, models? What is the things that really have stayed with you?
Well, who stayed with me was Boris Becker. I took like 14, 15, maybe 18 years picture of Boris. And it's very interesting to see a person growing. You know, it's like with a child, you know, you get to see all the different moments of life. And of course, it shows in the face. And as a study, it's really cool to see a person getting, a boy getting a man. And that's something I think outsticking from my work I've done. Also like Veronika Ferris, which I have followed over the years, or the Totenhosen, which I've been taking pictures of for many, many years. And that's really interesting to see how lives change and how faces change, bodies change. And of course, that's very interesting.
Okay, and I think you must have followed Boris Becker right from the beginning of his career.
Yeah, exactly. He was very, very young. I don't know exactly how young. I forgot, but he won Wimbledon, of course, you know, that time.
So do you have any role models, any teachers, any mentors that you look up to, any other photographers that you think are...
Not really. That would confuse me. That would confuse me. I saw so many good pictures, and you get influenced. If you look at other people's pictures too much, then you don't see your own picture, because then you subconsciously copy others. And I always tried not to look at too much at other photographers' pictures, because then everything has been made already, and it's so important to have your own eye and find your own eye. And if you look too much books as example of other photographers, then it's in your subconscious, and you probably copy the pictures without realizing. Or so I try to see my own pictures in front of my third eye.
Okay. Yeah, and I've seen you do real interesting things with the way you light portraits. I've seen portraits with kind of a traditional lighting, and I've seen work that you took with a very hard flash, like almost like paparazzi photography.
Mm-hmm.
What does light mean to you?
Well, I think you can transport a mood in a picture, and some people, they need a very soft light, others they need a character light, and the next one, it's good if it's a little from lower to make them a bit more spooky, because they're too soft. And I like to play with the lights a lot, but I always try to make the right light for the right person, because everyone has another a light which is good for him or her. And I can see that immediately if I look at the person, which side is the chocolate side, and which light could be good.
Do you have any, well, let's say anecdotes, any funny things or interesting things that happened during any of your photo shoots that you can tell us about?
Well, when I took picture of Rehagel, you know, the soccer...
Otto Rehagel, the soccer trainer.
Exactly, the Greece, who won Greece last year.
Yes.
With his soccer team. I had no film on the camera.
Oh, what? Really?
But that was a long time ago. It was actually my first job one of the first jobs for Tempo magazine. I was so excited that time to take picture that I was like so confused that I didn't put a film in, and it took endless. The roll was endless, and I didn't. It was still clicking, the camera, and I was like so happy. And then I realized, oh shit, there was no film, and I was so stupid to say it loud. And the guy said, well, girl, you missed your chance, and he left.
Oh, really?
And that was very sad, to come home to the magazine without a film.
You have no idea how often I double-check that this interview is actually recording.
I mean, I know every photographer is only cooking with water, and of course it happens even to top photographers that something went wrong, but then you have to bluff and not say, oops. It's then you just pretend like, oh, you know, I just want to do another role because I was not sure if I like him to check another material, I think it's better for this subject and da-da-da-da. You know, you have to bluff, and a lot of things in photography is bluffing, of course. Other anecdotes, I don't know really in the moment. It's just I can tell another story about Kevin Costner. I took picture for Zeit magazine, and it was interviewed, a dream interview, and I had the idea to take picture of him in straw because it was for a cowboy movie, and so I thought it was a good idea to lay him down in this fine hotel, which was a Hyatt hotel, in straw. And then his manager came and said, well, wrong idea, you know, I don't want him to get dirty. And I said, but he's a cowboy, how can he get dirty of straw? And he said, no, forget it. We don't have the time to clean then his clothes, and it's not going to work. And so I was kind of desperate, and when I met Kevin, I said, well, your manager didn't want you in straw, so what can we do else? And he said, well, let's go to bed. And I was like, I'm sorry to go to bed with you now here? Well, so I took pictures of him in bed, which was very difficult. He just laid down. I guess he just wanted to stretch out and lay down. And I was like, "Hey, what shall I do now?" And because when I was looking through the camera from the side, it didn't look really good because it's not a good perspective from the side if somebody lays down. So I knew I had to climb over him to take a picture from the top, so he doesn't have a double chin and everything looks good. And but I was, of course, since I'm a woman, I was a little bit shy. So I took off my cowboy boots and I had to just step over above him to find a good angle. And then I was excited and I didn't know what to say. I was confused and shy and I was afraid to fall. But unfortunately, I didn't fall. It was a funny, funny job. It was very funny because he was very cool and easy to work with.
Okay.
But it was a professional job, so I didn't fall.
Okay. Yeah, that can be hard in bed not to fall.
Well, yeah, it's shaky though. You know, it's the mattress and the blankets and, you know, with the camera on top, you look upside down and you get kind of dizzy, especially if you have to take focus on Kevin Costner's eyes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I think that leads us to another topic, actually, a pretty interesting one. I've recently made a survey among my listeners, and I found out that about 90% of the listeners are male and only 10% are women.
Let's talk about my Playboy pictures.
Oh, well, why not? In general, I think among photographers, photography is still very much the domain of men.
That's right.
How do you feel about that, being a woman in that business and being very successful in that business?
Well, yeah, that's why I first called myself Gabo, so nobody realized I'm a woman or I'm a man.
Okay.
Or Chinese or Japanese or German. You know, I didn't want to suit in some closets, you know, and that was really good because a lot of men competition is on the market and very little women. There's only 3% of women photographer compared to men, and of course they have a hard time because it's a very technical job, and women are not so technical. They're more emotional about the snapshot photography, like Ellen von Unwerth is.
Okay.
And that was really, really difficult to step in the man market. Of course, I had some stupid moments when a man was photographer built up in front of me on some comet party or something and going, looking to my decollete and say, oh, that's why you're famous. I looked down on them and said, that's why you're not famous. Anyway, it's hard. You get a lot of stupid people's comments. But I think at the end it counts the picture, you know. It doesn't count the perfectly technique. It's important the emotional you catch, and I think we women, we can do that very well. So let's leave the technical picture to the men, and we do the emotional side and both together as one. And I think we are too little amount of women in photography that we are really big competition for men, you know. So I hope a lot of women photographers are not getting now too intimidated of computer photography because it's more technical. The mouse is in the hand of man.
Okay.
That we can still, there are still some women grown with enough balls to hit the market.
Okay.
We are working different for sure.
Well, I sure hope there will be more women in professional photography. Only 3%, you said. That is.
That's what I read once, but you know, I haven't counted it.
Oh sure,
but I can see. I know just a few names, a handful of names of women in Germany successful. And I know much more men, so it could work, the 3%.
Well, looking at the listener numbers, I have slightly over 10% female listeners, so let's hope that some of them take the professional
route. Hey, girls, please, go for it.
Exactly, yeah, that's the right place to call.
Don't give up, even if you can't carry 2.5 kmh lights, HMI lights, and you have men for that, and just look and do it.
Absolutely. I fully agree there. All right, before we bring this interview to an end, just one of the last questions. Are there any plans for what you'll do next? Any big shots, anyone famous, any cover shootings that you will do?
Oh, well, there are a lot of options out in the moment, but I don't know what is definitely going through. I just came back from 4 weeks almost working every day, and so I can better talk about the past and the future, you know. It's there are some projects interesting coming up. Let's see. And the past, I just took picture of ERR, that was the German auto exhibition in Frankfurt, of all the big boss of Ferrari and Mercedes, Porsche, and it was kind of interesting and so different to people, to rock and roll, you know. And so I had, that was a very funny week. Last week I was taking picture 3 days on this ERR with all this very conservative, serious business people. And then I took picture of Scooter, who is the champion of techno music, and it was kind of rock and roll. And then I took picture of Alice Schwarzer, who's the feminist of Germany, who's number one feminist. And 3 days later, I took picture of a Playboy cover and 10 pages of a star. So it was a funny week, you know, with a lot of opposites. And that's what I love. I love to meet so different people and not just one or the others, you know.
And I think doing all those different types of photography. I mean, you do editorial work, you do industrial work, you do fashion work, you do erotic photography.
I think
that's also, from my point of view, a big plus, to be flexible and to really...
I love that, but, you know, it's very hard to keep it up because a lot of people think of Schubladen, was heißt denn das?
Drawers.
Drawers, exactly. And they like to put you in there and not, you know, think, oh, she's a good people, celebrity photographer, point. And not think, oh, she could take also a picture of cars, and she has showed in the past she can do reportage, and, you know, too much that confuse them. They always think you're good in one thing or the other, but I think it's important you're good in what you like to do in the moment. And I have showed in the past that I took a lot of different subjects, and I love that. I don't like to be always with models. It's getting boring and superficial, but to always take pictures of caprichoso in Spanish stars, it's also difficult. I think the mix make it so exciting, our job.
Yeah, you sound like a person who needs something new every now and then.
Yeah, I'm excited to that, yeah. I don't like every day the same thing. And also with lights and locations and teams, it's great to get to meet so many different people And I like to take picture of people though, not cool. still life.
Okay, so the your heart is really there.
Yeah, I like to do what I do.
Well, Gabo, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really excited about that, and I think the listeners will be too. If you ever need someone to help you carry around the heavy lights, give me a call, okay?
Well, I have this HMIs. They're always looking for someone carrying them around. Yeah, I guess you're also a photographer, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, but
and what are you doing? Do you taking picture of what?
I do a lot of different things, product shots. I've shot people, but I've just professionalized that whole thing like 3 years ago, so I'm still in the process of getting there.
Okay.
But at least I can tell people a lot about it.
Yeah, great. Yeah, keep on doing it, you know, so let's not have photography dying out. And that we still have film to work on, and sure. they are not the film companies all get bankrupt, like Polaroid, okay. or you know. So let's hope for our future that photography will still be alive and not just too digital, you know.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much for being on the show, and
all right.
Have a good time. And
was a pleasure. Now I go to the beach. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
No, I have to go to my computer, unfortunately.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. Bye, Gabo.
Yes, bye-bye.
If you want to see some of Gabo's photography, there's a good chance you already have on the titles of many different magazines. But in order to see more, make sure to stop by on our website at www.gabophotos.com. That's gabophotos.com. And that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor. Thanks for being subscribed. And if you aren't subscribed yet, a subscription is absolutely free, and the easiest way is to use iTunes or the Yahoo Music Engine. And if you like the show, why not rate it on the new Yahoo Podcast site? I'll put all the links into the show notes. Thanks for listening. This was Chris Markward. Have a great weekend and happy shooting.